In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
To see the face of God, to be in the presence of God, to know and feel that the Creator of the universe is right before you, to know and experience the most powerful force in all the world, to understand or to begin to understand how that force works or what it wants from us. That is essentially the great quest, the great goal of religion and spirituality. It's to make us mindful of God, to help us to see God, to show us the way so that we might stand in His eternal presence and glory. That is no small task. God, who is so much greater than we are, so different in so many ways, so transcendent above our lives and our knowledge, this God is such a mystery. The ultimate cause of our existence and of all life is such a mystery. We can sometimes sense it. We can sometimes feel it. But we can't always perceive everything about it. It's like entering into a darkness sometimes, a darkness where not all of our senses work. It is, in fact, like entering into a cloud. And clouds come up a lot in religious symbolism. They're certainly very prevalent in our religious stories, because perhaps clouds are the best way to explain what being in the presence of God is like. Clouds are something that we can pass through, but we can't see through them. They're not a physical barrier to us, but they do make us aware of the limits of our perception. And so, time and time again, we have these religious stories of individuals going into the cloud. Going into the cloud to experience God, because perhaps that is what experiencing God is most like. Entering into a space where the senses that we normally rely upon to serve us each and every day don't really work. That we have to rely upon other senses, other sensations or feelings. We have to rely upon other knowledge when we enter into that space. It cannot be simply what we see right in front of us. Sometimes you have to rely upon listening, upon intuition, upon senses that are much harder to explain to others, which is why our experiences of God, when they get into the mystical experiences of God, are so hard to talk about sometimes. And we have to rely upon imagery, metaphor. We have to rely upon these fuzzy, cloudy images, because that's the best way that we can capture the truth of our experience. In November, I took a weekend to go up to Montreal for a brief vacation, and I love Montreal. It's a fantastic city, and it's a city with some of the most beautiful churches just about anywhere. And so as you do when you're a priest on vacation, you go to churches, and I was visiting some churches that I'd been to many times, and one of the churches that's prominent there in that city is the Oratory of St. Joseph. It's a massive church. It sits on top of a mountain, or on the side of a mountain, rather. The dome is, I think, second only to St. Peter's in Rome in size, to give you an idea of the scale of this place. It's a massive church that you can see for miles and miles around, and I've been to this church many times, and it is a place of pilgrimage for many. It is a place where people have experienced miracles and healing. And the man who, in fact, laid the foundation for this church, who is responsible for it, He has now recently, and within the last couple of years, been sainted, Saint André Bessette. And he's somebody that I have a particular affinity for, and has helped me to experience miracles and some mystical things myself. So I always try, and when I'm up there, and go and pay my respects to Saint André, whose body is there in the crypt. And even though I had been to this church many times before, for whatever reason, this day it was particularly cloudy and foggy, so much so that from the street, actually even from the stairs leading up into the church, you couldn't see it. It sits up on the high, on this portion of the mountain, and all you can see is a staircase into heaven, and you see nothing else. Imagine being standing in our parking lot and not being able to see St. Agnes Cathedral. I know some of you have probably imagined that before, but I mean because of fog. That's the type of fog we're talking about. And it's so sick, so thick. And as I entered into this church that I'd been into many times before, I thought, you know, this is really the most beautiful way that I've experienced it. It's a beautiful church on the outside, at least. The inside's a little too modern for my taste, but the outside is a gorgeous church. But for me, this was perfectly symbolic of what it was to enter into this place where miracles had happened, where God exists in a way that we can't quite pin down and touch. It's entering into this cloud of unknowing and into this mysterious world where things are there, but you can't really see them. You know, I knew full well that church was there because I'd been in it many times, but I couldn't anymore see it than I could see things outside this wall. It was completely outside of my perception. And I thought, how perfect, because this is the way that the spiritual life often is. It is moving and around in a space where there are things that we can't see that are outside of our perception, but somehow we know are there. It is moving around in a world where we have to learn to rely on things other than our sight. We have to rely on other senses. And it is moving around in a world where faithful people throughout generations have walked before. It's a mysterious world. It's an uncomfortable world. It's a scary world. But I think it is the truest way, if we're going to be really true to what being in the presence of God is like. It's living in that world where things appear, things disappear, they come, they go, they're there, we can't see them, we can. It's the mysterious world of God. When Moses walked up onto Mount Sinai, he entered into a cloud that had scared others. They weren't willing to go up there. They were afraid of this mountain. There was this darkness there, this dark cloud. Moses had the courage to enter into that cloud, and in doing so, he stood before the face of God. Elijah, the prophet, when he is ending his ministry on earth, he is taken up in this fiery whirlwind, as we're told in our Old Testament lesson this morning. He's taken up into heavens, and he disappears from sight. Into the heavens, into the clouds. It's such a weird story that Elijah is there, and the next moment, he's gone. He enters into this space where his ministry ends not with a period or an exclamation point, but really with a question mark. What just happened? Where did he go? And then, of course, we are in the Church of the Ascension. You're looking up there at the above the high altar is a stained glass window depicting our Lord's ascension into heaven. His ministry on earth, his physical ministry, ends with him ascending into heaven, into the clouds, into a space where we can no longer see him in the same way. These stories that are mysterious, that are bizarre, and yet I think that they reflect the truth of the experience of people of faith throughout the ages. Is it trying to understand and be in the presence of God means trying to or having to encounter this weirdness, these mystical stories and experiences, these moments that we simply cannot explain through our senses? but perhaps are, for that reason, more true than anything else. Because we rely upon other means of sensing. We rely upon intuition. We rely upon this calling from God. We rely upon our brothers and sisters in faith that have led the way before. It calls from us different types of courage to go into that space, to leave behind and to be able to acknowledge that my perception is limited. There are things I can't see, and to be okay with that. It's not an easy thing to do. In this morning's gospel, Peter and James and John see these three figures who have done just that, who have gone into the cloud. Of course, our Lord hasn't ascended at this point, but he will. But they are seeing these three figures who at some point in their ministry go into the unknown and embrace God in a way that many people can't and are afraid to do. These three figures who more than anyone else pushed beyond what any average human could see or do, who experienced God in ways that most of us can never imagine, who actually stood in the presence of God, who have seen God face to face, or, in the case of our Lord, are the embodiment of the face of God. These three are there on the mountain with those disciples for a brief moment. And then what happens? The cloud moves back over them, they disappear, and they're back in their world of sight and perception again. They had this momentary, fascinating, mystical, bizarre experience of seeing God face to face and seeing their forebearers in the faith who have marched up and stood in the face of God. And then it passes. And then they're back to their life again, fumbling around, trying to figure out what just happened. I believe these stories because I think this is exactly, in my experience, the way that I have experienced God. As a passing cloud, as something that I can't always see or perceive with my senses, but nonetheless, I know is there, that I encounter in these weird and mysterious ways. And so I think that it is right that in the faith we hold up the mystery that exists. We talk about the mysterious things that we experience because we live in a world that doesn't want to talk about them, that wants to simplify and whitewash and get rid of all of these bizarre, weird stories so that it is sensible to us. And we want our faith to be sensible and reasonable and respectable. But the fact is that many times God isn't any of those things. God is mysterious. And when we enter into the church, just as I entered into the church in Montreal that day, we are entering into a cloud where things can come and go and we can experience things that we cannot explain. When you enter into the church, you enter into the presence of God. You enter into a cloud. And I know some of you are thinking that, well, when I'm a little overeager with the incense, it is like entering into a cloud. And that's part of the reason why we use it. To remind you that this is a mysterious, this isn't your everyday life that's happening here. This is putting you someplace outside of it. And people, there has been movements throughout the history of the church to try and simplify our story, to make our story easily accessible by anybody on the street. That's what they were criticizing Paul for, saying that you need to make the gospel simpler. You need to make it easier. Get rid of all these miracle stories and this weirdness that's going on. Make it just intelligible. You can't not be honest. If we are to be honest to what it is to be people of faith, we have to be honest to the mystery of faith. We are, in a couple days, beginning the holy and, I think, mystical, wonderful time of Lent. Lent is a wonderful time of the year, and I don't know why we paint it in such dark pictures sometimes, but it is a wonderful time to grow in spirituality, to let go of junk that we don't need in our daily life, to focus on our walk with God and being in the presence of God. And if we're to do that effectively, I think we also have to, as we enter into Lent, not just look at things that we want to give up or practices that we want to take on, saying this prayer or not eating that food. We need to look at, as we enter into this Lenten season, intentionally embracing the mysterious in our life. Intentionally walking and putting our heads in the clouds and just being there. Giving ourselves the opportunity to experience God when God wants to reveal himself. As you go into this holy season of Lent, keep your head in the clouds. Keep your faith in the mysterious. You never know when the light may shine through, when the clouds may part, and God may show you his face. Amen.